goes high towards Taylor. Walsh got there ahead of him though. On care plays it back in again. And no offside. And Taylor has scored. And that surely means it's the Premier League for Swindon Town now.
Hello and welcome to episode 26 of the Washbag Swindon Town FC podcast. I'm Ron Smith. Doom and gloom has surrounded the county ground for some weeks now, as Town had only one win in 11, meaning no trip to Wembley in either the JPT or the League One playoffs. Throughout his time, Mark Cooper has been under increasing pressure, with a very vocal section of supporters who continue to promote his sacking. But today, the day after Town finally exhibited some spirit, perhaps passion and fight, does the goalless draw at Bristol City and a derby point now give Cooper the breathing space he desperately needs? Well, here to join me to talk about that and the recent events at the County Ground, it's Flick Wiltshire's Andrew Still Davis. Welcome.
Good morning.
Yeah, hi there. And also our very own graphical supremo and, what does it say on your Twitter, ball pool aficionado, I think it does.
Oh yeah, that made more sense because my Twitter picture used to have me neck deep in a ball pool. But I got rid of that photo about a year ago, so it doesn't quite make much sense. No, let's change that, actually, now, Rob. Thanks.
It's Brendan Hobbs. Well, welcome along anyway, Brendan. So, I mean, we don't really want to jump into the Bristol City game straight away, give it a bit of context. And, you know, Town's run in recent weeks has been just so frustrating to watch. Hasn't really been surprising how the season sort of panned out. But, I mean, Brendan, you know, the Tuesday night game against Wolves was, for me, as it happened quite quickly, it's kind of like a goal for Wolves every 10 minutes for that first half an hour. Mm. And I was thinking, I could kind of sense it was going to be like this. But, I mean, how did you kind of feel coming out of that about sort of Town's real sort of chances for the rest of the season and going into the Bristol City game?
It was not ideal preparation for the City game. I thought I was probably the only one that came out of the Wolves game actually thinking we didn't play that bad across the 90 minutes. I mean, I think if you look at the statistics, Wolves had four shots on goal and scored four goals, and they were four fantastic goals. All of them were real quality that just exposed all our weaknesses in one sitting. So the lack of pace, a couple of the goals were shipped from giving the ball away cheaply in midfield. And I think some of the passes to unlock the defence were Premier League quality, I think.
It was just that turnaround, was it? That counter, the perfect ball.
Yeah, I think, and, you know, Sacco was quite instrumental, and Dicko up front was just so quick, which he was the complete antithesis of Ward and was always going to cause him massive amounts of problems. I think a lot of praise went to Sacco for the way he passed some of the bypassed defence with some of the balls, but I think James Henry was particularly good for Wolves, and that his when he ran away with the ball to actually set up Dicko for their third, was it? And it was absolutely brilliant the way he sort of got the ball when we lost it in midfield through Mass and Harley lost possession. They broke through, and you know, I think it was just those.
Was that the one where the ball went straight down the middle?
He just slipped it through, and it was a great finish. And I thought he was outstanding throughout. Which James Henry is a guy that I think Jacket had at Millwall. He used to be at Reading, and he's quite a good sort of accomplished Championship player.
Yeah.
Which again shows that, you know, Wolves did have such good quality throughout, and some of their defence, you know, they had some players that are quite experienced in Championship level. But I honestly, and it was luckily when I was leaving the ground, a couple of other people all shared, you know, the sort of opinion that we didn't really play that bad. I thought Smith's goal was good as well. He took that really, really well.
Obviously, as the game develops, I mean, Andrew, were you kind of... Were you surprised? I mean, Town's second half were a completely different team. As Cooper said, oh, it's so good that we kind of come out of that with a draw, and that's what they were kind of looking to do, or at least win that second half. But, I mean, is it a bit of a disappointment that Cooper couldn't have actually have made the changes that he was seeking to do during the half, or whether it had to wait until half time to really kind of sit them down and actually give them a right rollicking and kind of set him up a bit differently? You know, cause obviously he needed that influence on the game a lot sooner because Wolves were sort of running away with it.
Yeah, I think to be honest, in my personal opinion, I just think the way things were going first half, I'm not sure if changing it half an hour in or 25 minutes in or however long would have made much difference, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, he made the change at half time. He'd obviously talked to him, and I think that that was the best way forward. I think if he would have done it any earlier, it could have done more damage long term. We've seen the effects of how hauling a player off 25 minutes in, half an hour in under the Di Canio era, it didn't do anyone any favours. So, and I just think the way Wolves were set up and the way they were playing, I think it did make more sense to make the change at half time.
Yeah, well, I mean, sort of speaking about changes, I mean, of course, there was a lot going into the City game. There were six changes for Cooper, and it was really kind of, you know, that kind of, hopefully that kind of showed to a lot of supporters that obviously he's not afraid to make that. He obviously understood that a lot of changes need to be made. Obviously, we're playing with different opposition as well, but the key one being, Andrew, it was really about sort of Ward. You know, it's just, you know, he played 70-odd games in succession for Town. Had been ever present. Is he playing every minute this season? Well, pretty much.
Pretty much every minute.
I mean, dropping your captain. I mean, do you see it as a completely justified decision?
I do, because Ward hasn't had the best of seasons, especially in recent months. His form seemed to have taken a dramatic decline.
But is it down to age, or is it just with Ward, he's just getting older as a defender, he hasn't got the pace.
Yeah, it could
his
be
his positioning, he's dropping back a bit deeper.
It could be a mixture of things. It could be his age, it could be, you know, he is getting on a bit in his career, it could be the fact that he's playing in a completely new system with a much younger team around him.
Too many yams and sweet potatoes.
Yeah, too many of them and not enough high energy things to keep you going.
Yeah.
It could be a mixture of things, but I think dropping Ward yesterday was exactly the right message to send out. I think, you know, especially in the aftermath of the result yesterday, it could have gone either way. Obviously, if we would have lost 6-0, you would have had some sections of the support saying, why wasn't Ward playing?
Mm.
But I think dropping Ward and putting Jack Stevens in, obviously he's just arrived on loan from Southampton, was a masterstroke. And the defence yesterday looked a different proposition.
Yeah, well, yeah. It was a complete change for the entire defence, wasn't it, Brendan? Because you had Nathan Thompson returning, Jay came in at left back, and also Troy was back.
Yeah, Troy.
I mean,
he's been
to play
difference.
A completely different back four.
Yeah, yeah. I think it needed
a couple of games on.
Yeah, it needed refreshing, as Andrew was saying. I think Ward, even though he is now an experienced leader within the team, I think he was short on confidence. I think he gradually over the season he's been exposed time and time again with his pace. And I think someone tweeted after the Wolves game that tweeted something like, oh, do you remember when we were all really worried that Ward wasn't going to sign the contract in the summer?
Mm.
And I think a lot of, you know, he was quite key to the team, we thought. And I think as the season's gone on, his confidence has slowly ebbed away. And I think against Wolves, he suddenly realised that, wow, yeah, this is, you know, he was exposed. And Cooper, to be give him credit, quickly went in and changed that and got someone else in. And it just sounded a lot more solid. I mean, I said I listened to it on the radio and followed it on Twitter as best I could. And it did sound good. And every other word seemed to be Troy Archibald Henville. He seemed to be quite a colossus at the back and seemed to be winning everything. And I think he is a main difference, I think. If we can keep him, sign him to another contract next year and manage his fitness.
Does his contract end in the summer?
I believe so.
It does, yeah.
Gosh. It's so surprising considering how few games he's played and how much we paid for him that he came in on a 2-year deal.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he did. Oh. 2-year deal.
So we've got to get him signed up considering they've had to pay extra another 50 grand, wasn't it, recently after the NK Dons game. But no, as you said, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, the defence, I mean, a lot of the comments from yourself and Sam after the game on Twitter was just, you know, stoic defence and all those sort of superlatives there. As Brendan said, unfortunately, I wasn't there to watch the game either, but kind of listening to it as well. You got the sense that, you know, a victory would have been great, but Sunderland's actually coming away from a derby match away after what we've been through with a 0-0 draw kind of speaks volumes as well, that we showing that we wanted the fight.
I think that's what it was yesterday. I think it was the fight within the team. It was the defence. You know, they would have gone through the trenches with each other yesterday, and that was visible to see. And it was from the off as well. I said before, I was watching the team, the back four closely. Well, it's a 3-5-2 with wing backs, but you know, I was watching the defensive unit before the game. You know, right before kickoff, and Stevens and you know, bearing in mind he's 20 and he's hardly had any first team experience, was, you know, talking to all the defence, and Jamie Kevley was getting in there, Troy was getting in there, obviously Nathan.
Has this Stevens had any Football League experience on loan, or was this his first loan deal at all?
Plymouth, wasn't it? Did he have some loan time at Plymouth?
He joined Southampton from Plymouth.
Ah, perfect.
So whether he's gone,
well,
back,
been a
I
few
can't
years
think
ago then, wouldn't it? So yeah. No, that's really good that he comes in potentially for his first proper pro game in quite a long time, and actually puts in a right.
Well, it was very, you know, it's very impressive. I know when the news was broken on Thursday, there was a lot of negativity around the move because it was the whole, you know, it's another young player, another inexperienced young player. Why are Mark Powell,
Mark
find, Cooper
find
and
find an experienced young player anyway, that'd be quite...
absolutely.
How many of them?
But, you know, he just looked a class above the rest, really, along with the rest of the defence. And I think now, you know, the way forward is you've got to stick with that defensive unit in the wake of yesterday. And if they can perform as they did yesterday for the rest of the season, then, you know, all may not be lost yet.
Mm, okay. Well, the main real talking point from Town's perspective, because I didn't go to the game, was purely about Pritchard and his sending off. Having seen the highlights, it's very comical, and he's you shouldn't do that sort of thing. And as Cooper rightly said after the game, that he can't stand out there and justify and complain about the referee, as Marino did last night anyway, that performance. But as Sam was pointing out on Twitter through the game, it's so similar to Sacco's incident with, was it Nathan Thompson? No, of course it wasn't Nathan Thompson. He didn't play, did he?
Yeah
Branko. Against Town. But I mean, it's a bit of a shame to put a bit of a sort of dampener on a good week for Pritchard, because he's been nominated for two awards, isn't he?
Mm.
And of course he has been Brendan's sort of a pivotal, literally, player in Town's team, to actually, because it's going to be violent conduct, he's going to be missing a minimum of three games, I presume?
That's correct.
Yeah, well, they can ban him initially for... I think the actual rules are they can initially ban him for one, but it's at the referee's discretion as whether it's violent conduct, I think.
I think he's already said
go
it
up
is.
To three.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, it could be that, which is a shame, because he looked like he was really getting to some form. He was making things happen. He is an exciting player. I think next year he'll probably be loaned out to a Championship club, I imagine, just to take his development that bit further, which is a shame, because it would be great to see him back. But he is a very, very good player, and we will miss him, because we haven't really got anyone like that sort of roaming kind of player that can unlock defences, and also his set pieces obviously reap rewards. It's the same way that Matt Ritchie could have a very quiet 90 minutes of Swindon, not do anything, but then have one moment, one shot, one free kick, one delivery into the box that would make a huge difference. And that's what Pritchard can give you, that sort of out of nothing ability to score a goal. But it's been in question all season, really, is his temperament. And that was, I mean, the tackle he had was not terribly bad. It was a bit late.
It was just a trip.
Yeah, it was Wade Elliott, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wade Elliott, yeah.
Friend of Keith O'Halloran, wasn't he? The guy that broke his legs, wasn't it?
Better memory than me.
Yeah, I think it was. So I think he was a bit silly, but there was no need to do it. And I think he really did deserve to get sent off. I mean, as I was following it on Twitter, I think Sam Moorehead tweeted that, basically on the lines that Bakary Sacko did it, you know, got a yellow card, Pritchard did it and gets a red card. And he got absolutely crucified by people on Twitter, basically saying stop defending him and stuff like that. And Sam quite happily said, well, I wasn't defending him, I'm just pointing out the fact that those offences were very, very similar. And they were. I mean, just interpretation of the referee. But it was a full-blooded shove, and he just shouldn't have done it, which is a shame, because a couple of my friends that went, I'm sure Andrew would be able to sort of give us more insight, was they said that they could quite happily see Swindon coming out of that game with a win up until that point. So it makes it even more of a shame that the fact that we could have gone on and won it if it hadn't been for that.
I mean, chances were few for Swindon. I mean, the best ones did fall to Michael Smith.
Yeah, and Ryan Harley.
Towards the second half, wasn't it?
Yeah, chances were few and far between. Obviously, first half, chances were few and far between for both teams. Yeah. And then second half, Swindon sort of looked to have the edge in the early stages in terms of chances. And Bristol City had a couple right before Pritchard's sending off. And that's what flipped it. And just to go back on the Pritchard situation just very briefly. Yeah. It was, you know, he's had 10 yellow cards this season, and I'm pretty
sure... How many
sure,
for dissent?
I'm pretty sure 9, if not all of them, were for dissent, because he's not a tackler, is he? So
no.
It just goes to show he needs to manage that side of his game, because, as you said, it was a bog-standard tackle. It's, it's a trip that you see all the time. So for him to... And it's the way he jumped up as well.
He jumped up, he paused,
yeah.
He just stood there, squared off of him, and then suddenly the arms yeah. came out and he probably pushed him, and it was just, the referee was stood right next to him,
yeah.
And he must have been chuckling in his head, thinking, this is the easiest sending off I've ever done.
Yeah, it was a stupid decision from Pritchard, and obviously he went off, and you know, Bristol City really took hold of the game, and you know, the players they've got... You know, they were always going to threaten yesterday, especially the form there, and they were 8th in the form guide going into the game, based on their last 8 games. So they were always going to be a threat, but you know, the defence stood tall. Wes Fodringham,
his first game back in five
games, pulled off a string of you know, sublime saves, really. Mm-hmm. What we come to expect from Fodringham. And I think it's going to be a huge point for the rest of the season, to be honest.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll talk a bit more about sort of future games come up in a bit, but I mean, just a quick look at the other sort of results in the division. I mean, Wolves drawing at home to Shrewsbury was a bit of a surprise after their kind of, as Brendan said, their kind of clinical attacking performance against us. But I mean, the main one was, I was watching the highlights earlier of the Brentford Leyton Orient game. It was good to see Alan McCormack's beard really grown some length at the moment, but it's a really crucial victory for Brentford there, particularly with the games in hand over in Orient. But it's kind of not really changed much at the bottom now, and it's we've got to visit Sheffield United coming up in a couple of weeks. They didn't play yesterday, but it's kind of all sort of yeah. I mean, Swindon's position, we're not definitely out of the playoffs now. We were a couple of weeks ago, but I mean, do you think Sheffield United are going to creep in their sixth place and push Peterborough out?
Well, technically, and me and Sam Moorshead were talking about this yesterday, really Peterborough should have that last playoff place pretty much sewn up now after their win over MK Dons, because really you could only see MK Dons being the realistic challengers. Obviously, as we've seen in this league, so many things have changed with the playoffs. We've said, oh, you know, they're not going to get in it, or they're not going to drop out, so you can never say never. But I think, to be honest, I think it may be a bit too late for Sheffield United. Obviously, you know, they look to going to be one of the league's main threats next season. But I think really, after yesterday's win, Peterborough should have that last playoff place pretty much sewn up.
Sure. Right. Well, still no win in 7 for Swindon, of course. And in terms of Cooper's future in general, did a little poll on the website earlier this week. I think that was before the Wolves game? I think it was. And 38% voted for his sacking at some point this season, which is a bit surprising, actually. I mean, sort of had various articles in support of Cooper's tenure, and my view is it's still a bit premature, because it's very much intrinsically linked to power and how the club's run, and I don't necessarily think that Cooper's necessarily at sort of key fault for that. In terms of overall strategy, we're also a bit sort of quick to look to make changes. I mean, Brendan, so you know, sitting there, and you know, in the ground, we're hearing around me as well, sort of, you know, people shouting Cooper out, and you know, it's getting more vocal as time goes on.
Yeah.
I mean, to what extent then does that derby draw at Bristol City? A win would have been fantastic. Does it take the pressure off? We've got a run of games now. We've got Preston at home in a week's time.
I think it does. I mean, I think it was a good battling point, and especially against your nearest and dearest, it's always going to work. It's always going to do wonders for your standing within a fan base by, you know, getting that sort of point. I think there's a lot of people that just don't like Mark Cooper, full stop. They don't like his interviews. They think he's quite arrogant and quite, you know, can be quite aggressive. I think Andrew Hawes has been on the end of a few little digs from him and so forth. But these are the same people that love Paolo and who would deliver pretty much exactly the same sort of press conferences. Managerial positions now are so short term. You know, back when I was a lad, you know, you'd have a manager for years on end. It's just not the done thing anymore. People want instant results, and if they can't get it halfway through, you know, three quarters of the way through a season, they want the manager to go. As we were talking earlier, that, you know, people at Swindon are very unused to a season where it's not involving relegation or promotion. I mean, if we win every game from now to the end of the season, who knows? But, you know, people aren't used to that, so they're a bit confused by it all, I think. And I just don't get calling for a manager when, you know, people were chanting for him to go, we were eighth. Mm. And I find that, I think I tweeted that, you know, I think I will fall out of love with football a little bit if we did sack him on the back of that. We stepped with managers when we were rock bottom of the league before. And I think you just got to look at teams like Leighton Orient with Russell Slade. He had some really bad times at Orient and he kept them up a couple of times, last game of the season sort of job. But they stuck with him and they're reaping the rewards of that. Over time, establishing plans, keeping the same players and getting them all coached in the same way, and everything does fall into place. And I would just like to see us get that sort of chance with Cooper. And I think to call for him to go just seems a bit strange. I don't quite get it. I do acknowledge perhaps some tactical deficiencies that he seems to have. I think was it against MK when he took off Kasim after he'd been away on international duty, yeah. And then bring on Murphy, kind of totally unbalanced the team and so forth. So there are a few questionable things that he's done, but he's still young, and I think just he deserves a chance to, you know, a season that we were nailed on relegation, according to most forums and Twitter, we were relegated this season. For him to get us up to 8th, 9th, I think is credible. Whether with this pool of very talented players, someone else might have got us top, I don't know, but I just think it's
Ducanio probably would have done.
Yeah, I think a lot of them would have fallen out with him. And we would have bought a lot of players we couldn't afford. So I think just give him the time, you know, and just give him this, you know, at least to the end of the season, surely. It just seems crazy.
Andrew, now you've got to argue now for Cooper's sacking, because I need a bit of balance on here. So what reasons?
Talk about... No, I just want, you know, I was listening to what Brendan was saying, and I think the main problem this year has been the fact that we've all been spoilt the last couple of years, with the Decanio era, and the fact that there seemed to be an endless supply of cash at the club, and, you know, the successes we were treated to. But I think, you know, it was said in the summer how things were going to go, the budget was being cut, a lot of young players were being brought in, and as Brendan was saying, we for the majority of the season we've been just outside the playoffs, and I don't think you could go to any other club in this country where a club could be just outside the playoffs for the majority of the season playing some of the football we have. I admit the football since Christmas has dropped off, but and get the same negative feeling that's been around the county ground in the last few weeks. I've never ever known anything like it, to be honest. Okay. I think Mark Cooper has done a fantastic job in difficult circumstances. You know, he's had to deal with a change of chairman.
This doesn't sound very Cooper outish.
No, it's I'm not doing very well on the whole brief side. But no, I think he's not received as much credit as he should have done this season.
It's a strange one, because I mean, I kind of look at Swin's position in terms of how it's perceived. It's very much kind of in a way like Tottenham, in the sense that you've got a team that's flirting around with a kind of, you know, in a good, okayish position. Tottenham, you know, maybe getting into the Champions League, and then they obviously get rid of AVB on the basis of a couple of kind of tactically clueless jobbings and results. And it's kind of, I'm not saying there's a bit of a similarity there, in the sense that whether it has actually put them into a stronger position overall and replacing them and still getting beaten at Chelsea. But it's very much limited by the overall sort of how the club and the system of the club rather than the player as a whole. He's completely right about tactical mistakes, but any manager can make certain ones. It's very much learning as you go along over a period of time.
I think some of the fans as well... do get frustrated with the style of play that Cooper's trying to get across to the players. And
I don't know if it's Cooper's style of play. I think whether it is, because people are talking about sort of what kind of thing is that the power has always, you know, don't forget, power has been here since, you know, sort of May, in terms of what he's sort of promised in terms of strategy, in terms of whether it is Cooper's. I don't know. Because it's something which Cooper's not done, this style of play, when he was at Peterborough there. He's getting criticised because it was just hoofball football up from one end to the other.
Mm. I think with the players that we've got, if Power is making sort of decisions to say what style of football you know, you want to play, then you know that's his right. You know, it's one of those things that football chairman and owners often do say that it's a philosophy at this club.
Yeah.
We want you to play football this particular way. It's what happens. But I find, I mean, there's a few times against Wolves when, yeah, we were, as some guy shouted about behind me, dicking about with it in midfield.
Mm.
Whereas some other people do shout, you know, get it down the line. And when we do hoof it up the line, it easily gets absorbed by the defence and away the opposition come with the ball. There doesn't seem to be any kind of groans or moans, but as soon as Branco plays it back to Ward, who plays it to Thompson, who then plays it back to Ward, people start booing, and I just don't get that. That's the sort of thing I don't get. And one guy sat behind me was praising Wolves for their ball retention. You know, as I said, they only have 4 shots on goal, scored with every one, but they have more possession. And you know, they say that it's so easy. Look at the way they're passing it. But when we do that, it's not acceptable. And I think that, and as Andrew said, that's down to frustration that we had such a good start where playing football were unlocking defences and playing some really sweet football on the back of it. That's just dried up since Christmas and we've just not been able to cope with it, and that's what you're getting. Where's plan B? Where is plan B? And you think, well...
But we've only got a set of players who can play pretty much... Well, it's quite a flexible system in terms of how many formations that we've played, but it all kind of delivers the same approach, really. We haven't got the options to play sort of to it front, albeit Story is coming back from loan now. I might as well talk about that, really. I mean, Story's return does give another good option. I mean, he's been at Shrewsbury for a month. He's had 6 appearances, hasn't scored a goal. I don't think he even scored a goal when he was at Salisbury
Was he injured for most of that, though?
Was a little bit.
Yeah, but he hit the post, apparently, for Shrewsbury, didn't he?
I think he impressed at Shrewsbury. I've talked to a few of their fans, and they seem to be really impressed with him during his stint there. But I think that's it with Story. He seems to, you know, he's highly rated by a lot of Swindon fans. You know, there's been a lot of calls for him since he's gone on loan.
To come back. One of them.
And I think you know he does offer the team something different. He's quick. Yesterday, when I was watching the performance after Pritchard has been sent off, we were limited with the options on the bench because Ben Gladwin was brought on for Harley. He was brought on for Harley. Whereas we really could have done with someone like Story with an injection of pace to play off Smith. You know, if we did send it long, could have maybe created something out of that. So I think Story's return will be a welcome one. Cooper has said last week that they are looking to play a few of the club's academy players once they get one more win. And
the magical 50 points.
Get past the 50-point barrier. So I think, you know, and as he displayed against Coventry... You know, that finish would just screamed class. So hopefully, you know, I'd love to see him get a chance in the next few weeks, along with a few of the other clubs' academy players like Oakley and obviously Randall's made it on the bench the last couple of games. So it'd be a good opportunity to see what Story's really made of and see where he fits in for next season.
I mean, another player who's sort of come back. He's obviously been on the bench recently. Who hasn't been on the pitch? Alex Smith. He's been out injured for most of the season. To be honest, I can't remember him much from going back to August, his appearances. He only played a short cameo yesterday. Yeah. But, I mean, it just kind of shows that the players who are coming back, it's just a shame that Niall Rangers is actually out for the rest of the season because it just provides that completely different option up front, really.
Mm.
We've got a couple of... we've got Preston, Sheffield United coming up at the county ground. We've got Tranmere away, I think, left in later in March. So it's a tricky month.
Yeah, it's... when I was looking at the fixture list before we got into March, it's one of those months where you looked at and you just wanted to crawl into a dark room and cry, I think, because it is a very tough month. And
because we've got the 2 games, so we've got Preston on the Saturday, Tuesday at Tranmere, you know, two big games at home against tough opposition. Is that just going to heap more... These have just come at the wrong time in terms of pressure on Cooper. You know, the quality of opponents at the county. It's not even the quality of opponents at the county because we lost against Oldham.
Yeah.
You want great. And MK Dons as well. I mean, obviously they're creeping back up the league. And that's what I mean, going back to Wolves, that it, you know, it was, I could accept the defeat, disappointingly, you know, but the ones preceding that against Milton Keynes, how we threw it away, and the Oldham one, etc., they were the ones that really kind of hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
because he needed those points to kind of give him, you know, the safety net coming up to the.
Yeah, exactly. To get the points against those sort of teams. I mean, MK Dons. Yeah, we should never have lost that game, really. But Preston's going to be exceedingly tough. We don't have a great record against them anyway, and I think they, you know, they're sort of fighting at the top end of the table. You know, hopefully we can surprise them. And Sheffield United, I mean. I was looking at the bottom of the table for them, and I didn't realise how resurgent they had been under Nigel Clough, and they are going great guns. Just hope they might be a bit distracted with FA Cup involvements and so forth. Does that happen before the game or
after?
So hopefully they might be a bit distracted with that, and hopefully the wheels might come off their trolley with that. But I think, you know, they're two very difficult games. The two games I could see us winning if we play to our best. Especially with on this new defence, and as Andrew said, with Mar Story coming back,
and it's like a one match new
come
defence.
Come on, Ron, you've got to have that a bit of anticipation. I think Mar Story does give us that option off the bench as well, with that pace late on can really really hurt defences. So and Tranmere. We have a good record away at Tranmere, so hopefully we could.
We could do Gary Roberts back, couldn't we?
We could do with another halfway line goal. And I think, you know, it's one of those months where I could say we could get, you know, could get 9 points, you know, could not get any. I don't know. With the team that we've got, it's going to be a bit like that. I'd like to see us get over that 50-point mark pretty soonish, and then it'd be nice to see some of these young players, because we've seen how Nathan Thompson's improved again. Louis Thompson, I mean, he does look really good. I mean, the last few games he's looked really really good, and I always remember an interview, I can't remember if it was Canio or whatever, he did say that he thinks Louis was a better player than Nathan and will be a better player. He certainly looks a lot more dynamic, but there's two really good players there, and it would be nice to see us try and blood a few more youngsters to see what they can do, because often in the heat of an actual professional game as opposed to a reserve fixture, you can often tell how good a player is going to be, and I think it would be nice to see that. I mean, you saw when Story made his debut as some sort of scrawny 16-year-old, I mean, he looked lightweight, but he put in a lot of effort. Compare that to the player now, he's quite beefed up, he's quite strong, and coming in now is not such a big deal for him because he's made previous appearances, and that's the grounding that you need to give these youngsters. I think it'd be really good in the future to try and get that.
Yeah, and as the season peters out, which it probably is going to be done, then it's the only chance we've had in a couple of years actually to actually blood some new players towards the end of the year and get some players in.
Get used to crowds hurling abuse at them.
Yeah, so
I mean, good grounding.
No, next season we've got the old 10% season ticket. Reduction for another couple of days. Andrew, you're fortunate enough to have a press pass, aren't you? So you renewed yet?
Yeah, I've renewed.
Good.
That very persuasive sign that Jay McKevley held up in Twitter, it was a handwritten sign saying 4 days to go. I thought, oh, I couldn't disappoint that smiling face, so I went on and did it.
Right, and the only other thing before we finish is really just to say the Trust STFC AGM is on Thursday, 27th of March at 7 p.m. in the GW bar, so all welcome, existing and potential new members for the Trust, and we'll obviously talk about the year so far for the Trust and what we've got to look forward to for the year ahead. Ask us any questions.
Can anyone go to that?
Yep.
Okay.
Come along to that and you can sign up as well to be a member.
Oh, I am a member.
So yeah, anyone can come along. That'd be really good. Good to see you. So that's all that we've got time for this week on the podcast. Massive thanks to Andrew and Brendan for joining me. Potentially another podcast after the Preston game, so I'll speak to you next week. Cheers, Anne.